News Talk 760 WJR. Online. The great voice of the Great Lakes. When you want it. The Frank Beckman Show.
We welcome to our studios and to our program Socialist Party, Socialist slash Green Party candidate, I think it's listed, for a state representative in the 53rd District, University of Michigan student, graduate student, Matt Erard. Good to see you, Matt. How are you?
You too. Very good to be here. Yes, I'm a socialist candidate and a Green Party candidate. I'll be appearing on the Green Party ballot line, but I'm nominated by both parties, and very much do appreciate the invitation to candidates of the non-corporate parties to come participate in this program.
Why did non-corporate parties? What's the matter with corporations being involved?
I'm sorry, you said what's better?
What's the matter with corporations being involved in campaign contributions or in our economy? I mean, they're necessary, aren't they?
Well, if you support a democratic system, then it's fundamentally incompatible with the exertion of institutions of such extraordinary economic clout who have no inherent interests other than maximizing their own profits,
right?
Determining the course of legislation in Lansing,
of course,
in Washington.
The more profit they make, the more jobs they create, the more people are working. That's where jobs come from, isn't it?
They are the employers within the present system, but it's not necessarily inevitable that that has to be the case. We could socialize such major industries, in which case working people would run such institutions at the point of production or at the point of service, and we would have social ownership, eliminating the needless cost of private profits derived exclusively from the exploitation of our labor.
All right, now, wait a minute. Private profits, those workers who would be under you as a boss, you'd be in the government and you run all these companies now. So you become those profiteers, right? I mean, you're running all the businesses, telling people what they make as a socialist, right?
Absolutely not. No.
Who would determine salaries?
Our focus is to combine at the macro level democratic economic planning with democracy at the workplace.
So to a certain extent,
there's going to be public decision making on such matters at the most decentralized way possible. But government is potentially democratic. A corporation isn't even potentially democratic.
No.
Power goes straight from the top to the bottom.
Right. From the people who actually have the ideas, create these businesses, create ways to expand those businesses for more jobs.
Well, as the recent financial meltdown showcases, those sorts of ideas and
really, how's it working in the oil industry right now?
Within the oil industry?
Yeah, how's it working now in the oil industry?
Are ideas working, you're asking?
No, you just said that this idea of free market capitalism is not working on Wall Street right now. I said, how's it working in the oil industry right now?
Well, oil executives are making extraordinary profits through the exploitation of natural resources that should belong to the public as a whole.
Well, they're used by the public.
They are used by the public, and they should be owned by the public.
Well, they are through stocks. I mean, you can own these companies by buying a share of stock. Can't you?
I could buy extremely minimal shares of stock, but that doesn't represent genuine ownership. That's an illusion that the capitalist system has perpetuated to an increasing extent in recent decades. It's the major shareholders who constitute a class who actually wield power over such institutions.
All right. Now under your government, how would socialists run our industry? Specifically, how would you run it?
Well, I don't purport to be establishing a blueprint for running the entire economy at the macro level. My main aim is to empower the majority through democratic mechanisms to make such decisions.
So it's going to
vary across industry. It's going to vary across workplaces. It's going to vary across region.
Matt, define empower. How are you empowering people?
I can define it precisely. Accountability. Right now, there is no democracy in the economy, even in a theoretical sense, as there is in the political system. So it's a question of whether or not such institutions should be accountable to the public and whether they should be accountable to the workers within such institutions.
But they are accountable in this way under a capitalist system, are they not? If they don't offer the products that people want at the prices they're willing to pay, those companies don't have customers. That's how they're held accountable, aren't they?
Yeah, that's not genuine accountability, though, because
it's not.
Because their aim, their means of viability is to continue market expansion and the maximization of profits.
Yeah.
It's not the benefits of the workers that they employ or the benefits of the public at large.
That's not why
those are considered market externalities.
Matt, but that's not why people create products in industry. People create products in industry for just that very reason, to create profit, don't they?
And the people who create the products are working people, not the private ownership class for the most part.
No. The people who are employed by major corporations are peddling their wares, and that is their service as a worker. That's what they are doing. If that business goes out of business, if it's no longer there because the product is too expensive or the product does not appeal to enough people, then, right, that worker has to find a way to peddle his skills to someone else then.
That's exactly right. That's what capitalism is based on, wage slavery or starvation. You have no choice but to rent out your labor to a private capitalist or starve.
But you
can characterize it perfectly.
Matt, exactly. And you can do what you do, is you can try to improve your lot in life. That is the motivation for you to get a better education, for you to make yourself more attractive as an employer or an employee in the workplace.
And for the most part, the class that dominates such institutions is born into it. But even if we did have equal opportunity, even if we accepted that illusion, the majority of us would still have to remain in a situation of exploitation. We couldn't all become capitalists.
I don't understand the exploitation part of this, because how are you exploited? You're being paid
profit
for your work.
Is exploitation by definition. Capital doesn't create any new value on its own. Capital derives value from the exploitation of labor and from natural resources. Profit is the unpaid labor of working people.
Did Engels and Marx have it right?
I believe they did, and I believe history is vindicating them right now as never before.
Really? Such as what countries? Do you mean Cuba? Do you mean Poland? Do you mean Russia? Do you mean Mongolia?
No.
Which socialist, or Venezuela for a better example, which socialist countries are you holding up as the great example of their success?
I'm thinking more along the lines of the United States right now, where we have
still the best economy
capital
in the world.
That's concentrated to such an extent that it can't continue to meet its own expansion needs and has to essentially augment its exploitation downward, create financial bubbles, etc., in order to prevent itself from imploding, and can't even assume the risk that it justifies its ownership and lavish profits upon.
I agree with you there.
We got to socialize the risk, socialize the cost, keep the profits privatized. That's what the system is based on.
I
now.
Agree with you on the way we've approached this debacle. We've gone to a socialist system to try to solve it, haven't we?
No, the absolute opposite of the socialist system, extracting such extraordinary public wealth and turning it over to a financial oligarchy is about as far from a socialist system as you can get.
Yeah, the state has stepped in and said, we're going to use the money of taxpayers to save these companies. I mean, that's what socialism or communism does. The state takes over all the businesses.
No. What the state has done is said that we're going to protect private companies from competition. They're going to they're going to maintain dominion even beyond the risks of the market, and that public wealth, even beyond what's already exploited at the workplace, with the surplus value derived from their tax dollars, now has to go to these private tycoons as well.
Let me get some calls in for you. In Birmingham, our number is always 800-859-0957. Mark out in Birmingham, first up with Matt Erard, candidate for Rebecca Warren's state representative seat. Hello.
Thank you, Frank. I'd like to ask Matt if under his idea of a utopia, that whether people will be able to own their own homes, and if so, will they be able to own property and do whatever they wish with the property, like mine for minerals, rent it out, and make a profit? Or is that now no longer available to people under his idea of socialism?
Well, it's a good question, Mark. There's a fundamental distinction between what's sometimes called private property, or really capitalist property, and possessions. In the home example, you could think of it in terms of a home that you own being your possession, and a home that you rent out to other people essentially being private or capitalist property. And in the latter sense, you know, we're not going to coercively socialize the assets of small landlords, people renting out rooms in their own home or things of that nature. Major landlords, those owning you know, massive apartment buildings, we would like to place under social ownership and eliminate that kind of parasitism.
So, at what point does a person who's renting out property become a parasite?
Well, the
you just said it's
the
all
moment,
right if he rents out one room, but if he has a big place, then he's a parasite.
Right. The moment that they're deriving the majority of their income purely on the basis of ownership, you have a parasitic relationship.
Really?
Inherently.
That's a bad thing. Okay. Appreciate it, Mark. Thank you very much. Greg in Orion Township. Hello. You're on with the Socialist Party candidate for the State House, Matt Girard.
Hey, man, I just want to point out, you keep bringing up history. Here's one major historical difference between the United States and the Soviet Union. You know, we've built housing projects for the poorest people in our country, whereas the Soviet Union built housing projects for the vast middle class over there. And, you know, you just wreck an economy and you call it democratization. What you guys are doing is you're confusing egalitarianism with democracy. They're not the same thing.
No, that's not the case, and we don't make any apologies for the Soviet Union. That is not our tradition. We do not associate with Stalinism in any way, shape, or form. But you can't conflate democracy with mere accountability. The fundamental distinction there, democracy with egalitarianism, the fundamental distinction there is accountability. The democracy is going to be extended to the economy and to the workplace in the sense that such workplaces, as well as the economy, are going to be accountable to the public at large.
How do you hold the public accountable in your grand idea of things? Where is the individual accountable for his own actions?
At what level
of
society?
At any level. Where is he accountable?
The individual is accountable in every action he or she engages in.
Everything you've told, well, that's not the way you've explained it so far. Every time you've explained something so far, there has been a parasite who is taking advantage of this individual. At no point have you said the individual is responsible for his own success or failure. You want to make the state responsible for all of that.
No, I don't want to make the state responsible for that. Everybody has an obligation to work and to engage in productive labor and to derive income on that basis. But that's what people do now. Under socialism, working people are actually paid in proportion to their labor. That's not at all how it works under capitalism.
Matt, who determines that? You want to be the boss who determines what that person is worth. That's the only difference here.
That's not true at all. It's under capitalism where all the value of one's capacity to work is made equal in the sense that we're paid the minimum amount necessary to keep us working. Under socialism, that surplus value, that unpaid labor that's kept as profit by your employer, the great majority of it, you retain as the person who produced it, and whatever surplus is extracted goes towards social needs benefiting working people as a whole rather than into the private pockets of a private ownership oligarchy.
Well, the difference I see is that you're determining what those needs are and what it's worth.
Even if you wanted to put it in that context and say that I was determining it as some omnipotent state figure, at least
right.
I'm a figure that's potentially accountable to the public.
Really?
Whereas the corporate employer who has no aim other than maximizing his or her own profits is who is never up for election of any kind, who cannot be recalled, has no basis of accountability.
Except,
there's no potential.
Except if his product doesn't sell, and then he will be recalled. Let's go to Flushing and Richard. You're on the Frank Beckman Show. Say hello to Matt Girard.
Hello, Matt.
Hello.
I've got a question for you. What happens when all the productive people, the best and the brightest, decide, I'm not going to play this guy's game. I'm going to pick up my toys and go home. And they just start shutting down the plants, shutting down the factories where all these people are employed.
Atlas shrugged.
Exactly. What happens? Because I'm not going to play this game. I'm leaving.
First of all, that's a very unlikely scenario because working people are paid to a much greater extent in proportion, as I said, to the actual value of their labor rather than giving it up to private profit. It's interesting that you bring up the notion of working people shutting down their workplaces because it's that capacity, it's having your hands on the lever of production that gives the working class majority the power it does to transform the present capitalist economy into a socialist one.
You misunderstand me, Matt. The owners go home. The owners pack up and leave. The owners move out of country.
You're referring to capital flight.
The creators.
The creators of wealth.
Yes, that's a problem for left liberals and progressives trying to bring relief to working people. It's not a problem for those of us who are socialists because we don't recognize their right to exist. We're going to socialize their assets. They can't flee with assets that they no longer own.
Wait a minute.
As a transitional measure, though, my campaign calls for a 100% capital flight tax.
It is the barrel of the gun that you're willing to use to force those people to leave behind what they've worked for.
No, this is not what they've worked for. This is the assets
bosses,
that they've accumulated through
work.
The theft of what their employees have provided and created.
What's the rest
over the
of your campaign
of years?
Platform besides a 100% tax on those who would want to leave?
In
other words, you loot them of all their wealth.
I advocate a $15 an hour at least minimum wage, a maximum wage.
Why stop there? Why not go to
10 times the minimum?
Why not at $25 or $50? Why 15?
25 or...
Yeah, I mean, to think about what you could do if you got $25 or $50 an hour as, a parking lot attendant or whatever. Why stop at 15?
Our goal isn't simply to maximize inflation. And actually, when you tie it to a maximum wage tied to the minimum, that's about the best means there is to prevent inflation.
Should everyone earn the same amount of money?
No, people should be paid in accordance with their labor, which they are not under capitalism.
All right. And who decides that? The government?
No, that's the objective value of the labor of individuals. That's determined by...
Well, Matt, somebody's got to decide that.
I'm sorry?
Someone has to decide that.
Yes, it does have to be determined, but it's determined by objective criteria, not solely
the
government making dictums and decrees.
I would really be anxious to see how you come about doing that. With everybody's salary, would we vote on? Do I vote on what my engineer's worth now, or do they vote on what I'm worth?
Let's consider it from the default position. You're worth essentially right now what your income is, or what your labor is producing, in addition to or beyond what's being taken from you by your employer in the form of profit. You retain what goes to the private profits
of
your
quickly,
employers.
Is Obama a socialist?
Obama is the farthest thing from socialist. If Obama's a socialist, then Nixon's Karl Marx himself.
Okay, thanks for being here. I got to go to the news. Matt Erard, running for 53rd District State Representative. Thanks for coming up and having a very frank discussion on this.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
Okay, take care.
Talking about what matters to you. Frank Beckman Middays. Catch it live on News Talk 760 WJR AM. And stay up to date online at WJR.com.